Thank you, Lee and Leanne. Thank you for kind of slowing us down a little bit. Give us some time to think about it. I don't know about you, but lots of times right before we get started, my mind's racing a lot and thinking about a lot of different things. So I really appreciate those slow songs and kind of helping us get in there. I want to talk about Christmas. But Merry Christmas from my family to yours. And I'm glad you're here. Last week we talked about Jesus coming and giving us the gift of peace. And if you missed that, please pick up a CD out there. They're free. And this week we're going to talk about another gift, the gift of joy that Jesus brings. And joy is certainly not some of the things we see on TV. It's not the Grinch, all mean and stuff, and it's not even SpongeBob either. SpongeBob's sort of a fake happy kind of guy, you know, that is happy all the time and nothing seems to shake. He's kind of phony. So what is genuine joy? Genuine joy is this, and I wrote it down. It says it means to have strength from God to face anything. It means that you know you're blessed in everything, no matter what the circumstances, that God's blessings are still there. Joy means you're less stressed in everything because you know God's love. Less stressed. That's what you want to hear this time of year, to be less stressed. I want to tell you today that joy doesn't come from what you have. It comes from what you know cannot be taken from you, no matter the circumstances. You know, your job can be taken from you, but no one can take God's purpose from your life. Your relationship can be taken from you, but no one can take God's love from you, no matter the circumstances. You know, how do you find love in this imperfect world? And I love that what the Bible says in the very first topic. It says, always be joyful. Let's say that together, because that's an easy verse to memorize. Always be joyful. Now, I like that verse, and it's easy to memorize. But the part that bothers me is always. Always. I can really get my arms around be joyful. But sometimes you just don't want to be joyful. Not always. So how do you have that kind of joy since we're not in a perfect world? How do you find the joy that lasts in this broken world that we live in? And really that's the message of Christmas that Lee just sang about, is that God brought joy. God brought joy one night. So, when do you find joy? I love to watch people. And one of the favorite places that I've ever been to, I've only been once and I want to go again, is Disney. And we went to Disney a few years ago. And I love to watch people and kind of start thinking about things from them. But I noticed the people that were going in the gate were very, very excited. And they couldn't wait to get in there. They was buying all the ears and stuff, and they were energized. They just couldn't wait to get in this park. But then the other gate, people were coming out. They were tired, and they were on a sugar high from eating all that stuff, and the kids were crying and everything. And I thought, even on the same happy day, you're not always joyful, even at a theme park. So even on those days when we aren't so happy, where do you and I find genuine joy? We're going to look at some of the folks in the first Christmas for the answers. The joy they experienced wasn't just for them. It was for you and I too. Every time. Romans 15:4 says this, everything written in the Scripture was written to teach us in order that we might have hope through the patience and encouragement which the Scriptures give us. Every story in the Bible is written for us to give us hope, to give us encouragement, and to give us joy. You see, what happened to them happened for us. That's what it's for us, and to teach us about joy. When I'm surfing through Facebook sometimes, and I got a lot of electronic friends, and sometimes they post these articles, and they put them on their timeline, if you guys know what that means, and sometimes it's tempting to click on their articles according to how they title them, according to the words that they use, and some of them I like, or they use words like shocking, or one I really like is never seen before footage, and I really want to click on those sometimes, you know, just because of the word shocking or never seen before. And so today, in kind of, you know, celebration of that, how do you click through these things to find joy? And I want to give you five shocking truths that bring you joy. The first truth, we're actually going to see two truths from the shepherds, because I love the shepherds. I love the working man, and that's kind of where I'm at. And to me, the shepherds represent the working man. And so we want to look at the shepherds here. And the very first thing I want to look at about joy, the first truth, is that joy is here. Joy is here. Joy happens where you are. Not anywhere else. You don't have to be somewhere else to have joy. You can have it right here. Where you are, the very life that you're living, you can have joy in your life. The shepherds discovered that they had joy where they were. Luke 2, 8 through 9 says this: that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. The shepherds were kind of doing their thing, as they always do. They were tending the sheep and watching them. It was dark, same boring mundane night after night. And then something happened. God shows up in their everyday, walking around, ordinary life. Do you know joy shows up in our everyday walking around life? In our everyday life, joy is here. Guys, this is hope for every one of us. God can show up in our life, my life, your life, every day, wherever you are, in whatever you're doing, and give us this genuine joy. But some things keep us from finding and keeping that joy. Bad attitudes. Stress, they kind of keep joy away. Yesterday, I'm in my part-time, semi-retirement. I'd take care of a few yards, and I was over at the Armurchie Post Office helping out over there. And not much going on. I was just spreading some pine straw, and I had my headphones on, and I was listening to the Christmas music, and I've been studying the Advent, you know, that Jesus is coming back. I know he's coming back. I didn't realize there was so much scripture that told me so. He is coming back. And I had that on my mind, thinking and singing, and I was sitting there, and I thought, you know, before this pine straw hits the ground, everything could change. Everything could change. It just suddenly. Suddenly, everything could change. And I got to singing louder and louder, and I didn't realize there were people around. And I was dancing. I'm thinking, I know they were wondering who the weird yard boy was. Then I saw him, and there was a lady looking at me kind of with a greasy eye. And I thought, you know, if he comes back, I want him to find me doing stuff like this. I want him to catch me praising him. Because it was the word suddenly in that verse that got to me. Because I started thinking about families, you know, in our church. And I see some folks over here that they're changed. Their year was changed. Their whole lives were changed this year. And sometimes there's suddenly changes in our life that are the worst things that ever happened. But the truth is, suddenly there's some good things that could happen. Just suddenly. And it makes me begin to look at life differently. You know, I walk around now and every once in a while I look up to see if he's coming back. I wonder if he'll like what I'm doing when he comes back. And you know, I wonder if I make it home. I wonder if the pine straw hits the ground before he comes back. You know, just suddenly. Because what I find out is joy isn't about my circumstances. You know, joy is about God suddenly showing up in your life. And he can. The second thing that we learn from the shepherds, besides that God can suddenly show up where you're at, is that joy is sent. Joy is sent. You don't have to spend the rest of your life trying to discover joy. It is sent. God sent it to the shepherds, and he sent it to us. Luke 2 says this, 10 through 12, says they were terrified. But the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Some people try to work really hard to get joy. Some people like me sometimes just want to ignore all the bad in the world and just pretend everything is good, you know, to get joy. But that's not it. Joy is actually recognizing that in the realities of life that God is here. And the good and the bad and everything else, joy is recognizing that God is here. Some people think that, and I see these a lot. See, I talk to these people a lot, maybe every day, that joy is in lucky circumstances. That if they win the lottery, that they'll have joy then. Or if they come to some windfall, they'll have joy. You know, I want to tell them, you know, actually studies show that winners of the lottery are actually the most miserable. And they're just not having a good time, not a lot of joy in their life. You don't find joy in a 1 in a million chance. Joy is sent. You don't have to find it. You see, joy is not created from within. Joy is sent from above. That's where we get joy from above. And I love where this verse says good news and great joy. Good news becomes great joy when it's personal. And that's what I love about Christmas, is it's personal, that Jesus came for you. Last night we had one of our gatherings at Fred and Chris's house, and Fred read the story of Christmas from the book of Luke. And as I read that, I got to slow down, and I got to think about what he was reading. And I said, you know, Christmas is for me. And what I mean by that is, as he read that story, you know, we hear a lot that Jesus came for the world and all of that. But as he read, I thought, it got personal with me that Jesus was born for me. And it became very personal, so it moved from good news to great joy when I realized that it was for me. And it was for you. At least he came for you. It was very personal. And he says, Barbara, I didn't just come for the world. I came for you. That moves from just news to joy. And then as I sat there, I almost just said, wow. You know, it became all about me. It came very personal. Christmas became very, very personal. And it was great joy. Look at the shepherds did after they saw that it was personal. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. See, they went and told. Joy is sent to be shared. Guys, this is the best time of the year to invite somebody to church, or the best time of the year to talk about Christ, as Lee said, in Christmas. You know, you hadn't got a pound it in folks. Folks are more apt to receive it this year. As the Spirit is going, if you want to invite somebody on Wednesday night to communion. And remember, it's at 8 o'clock, not 7:30. But it'd be a good time to invite. We have communion, and we slow down. It's my favorite service of the year. We're not here long. But it seems like in 16 years, the Holy Spirit has never not shown up. And it's just a wonderful time. You know, let's look at what the wise men, we learn a third shocking truth. Is that number three, joy is a journey. Joy is a journey. It's a process of life. Joy doesn't always happen overnight. The wise men traveled a long time before they were filled with joy. Look at Matthew 2:10. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. It took time for the wise man. It takes time for us also. Psalm 35 says, crying may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Sometimes joy starts with tears. It's what that verse tells me. I love the next verse. What Jesus says is, you will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. Guys, we often grieve our way to a place of joy. Wherever you're at, some of you may be grieving this year. I know you are. But the Bible reassures us and promises us that we will grieve to a place of joy. It's a process. It's a process. Don't look for overnight success. Don't look for the new thrill. Don't look for a quick fix. Don't look for a new relationship. Joy is a journey. I was asking God, I was talking to him a couple of weeks ago to ask him to fix a few things that were kind of bothering me and getting on my nerves. And I came across a verse that I wanted to share with you, Psalm 148:13. And I noticed this lady wrote this verse that had all those things going on in her life. It says this, let them all praise the name of the Lord, for his name is very great. His glory towers over the earth and heaven. No matter what the circumstances I'm feeling, no matter what the circumstances that you have in your life, God towers over them. God towers over them. This promise from God brought me great joy. Guys, I want to tell you that God towers over your problems. But then I want to tell you, I want to sound like a preacher with a bunch of cliches now. In a journey, the most important part of the process is the first step. We sang a song and we call Jesus Emmanuel a lot at Christmas. It means that God is with us. And the first step on this journey is to recognize that God is with you. Joy is here. God is with you where you're at, what you're doing. God is with you. Even when you don't feel right, and even when you don't feel like it, God is with you. The fourth truth that we learn from is a man named Simeon. We don't talk about Simeon much. He's not in the nativity scenes. He's not in the plays. But he may have the most shocking truth about joy. And this is it. Number four, joy is scary. Joy is scary. Like I said, we don't know him as well as we do the shepherds and the wise man. But he was a priest. And he was there when Jesus was dedicated at the temple. And I want you to look at what he had to say. Then Simeon blessed them. And he said to Mary, the baby's mother, This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, but he will be a joy to others. He says, you know, Jesus came, and some people are going to fall. And here's this guy, Simeon, telling them the honest truth about that and then about joy. Some people are going to hear about Jesus, and they're going to fall. And some people are going to have great joy. Kings and religious leaders in this time, they fell because they were hanging on to what they already had. And the same thing's happening today. Sometimes we got to let go of things that we're holding on to that we thought would bring joy in order to grab that joy that only that God can give. We're holding on to stuff that we thought brought us joy. And it's gone, and we can't seem to grab this joy. Well, I want to tell you today, if somebody loves you and cares about you, it may be time to let it go. It may be time to let it go. And let God give you that joy that only He can. And I'm going to tell you something. That can be scary to let go of something that's brought you joy all this time, Courtney. I've always thought this would bring me joy. And I don't want to let go of it. I've been building my life in order to get this great joy. And Jesus is saying, I really want you to connect with me. You know, I want you to get with me. And he wants to be first. You might have been hanging on to this relationship for years, and it's gone. You might have been hanging on to a career, and it's gone, or a bank account, or whatever. And you've been depending on it for your joy, and now it's gone. Or it's slipping away, it seems like. And it's a scary place to be. You know, it's like swinging on a trapeze. You're hanging on to it over here. And here's Jesus with this permanent joy, this real joy, saying, if you'll let go of that, I'll give you joy. And it's hard to let go of this and grab hold of this. It's a scary place to be in kind of limbo, out there like a big matzo ball. But I want you to know, it's okay to be afraid. But I want to tell you, speaking from somebody from experience, there's an incredible rush of joy when you let go of the past and hold on to what's new in Jesus Christ. It's a big, big rush. So I want to ask you today, if you don't remember anything else, what are you holding on to thinking that it's going to bring you joy? Or what are you holding on to that's keeping you from getting joy? Which leads us to kind of a segue into the fifth thing that we learn. The fifth thing we learn is from Mary. Mary, in case you didn't know, was the mother of Jesus. And we learned that joy is a difficult choice. Joy is a difficult choice. Mary had great joy. She even had a song about it. Let me just read you that song. I'm not going to mess you up by trying to sing it to you. It says, Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed." Mary had a lot of joy. I mean, Mary had some joy. But she didn't start with joy. You see, some decisions, some tough decisions, some difficult decisions that Mary made got her there. Look where she started in the next verse on your outline. This is before this one. She started confused and disturbed. Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God." You see where Mary's at? This is before she had joy. She was confused, she was disturbed, and she was afraid. That's where Mary was. She was a teenage girl, and she found herself with an angel telling her she was about to be pregnant and it would be a virgin birth. She would have no sex. That would be disturbing. See, we know the story. We've heard it all our life. But for a teenage girl to hear it the first time, I'd say she's confused. It would be putting it lightly. But she made a decision that changed her life forever and changed her whole legacy. Here was her decision. She would trust God instead of herself. She would trust God on this one instead of herself. This is something I'd love for you to write down and maybe look at it this Christmas or today if you're there. But I got it underlined in mine. I wished it had been my Facebook status. That joy is found on the other side of a difficult choice to trust God instead of trusting myself. Joy is found on the other side of a difficult choice to trust God instead of trusting myself. I don't care how long you've been a follower of Christ, it's a lot easier to trust yourself than to trust Him because you're here. It's just our nature. It's easier to do that. Guys, it's a decision that we make to trust Him. And sometimes it's a difficult decision. But Jesus is a perfect example of this in Hebrews 12:2. We're finishing up. He said, for the joy set before Him. This is about Jesus. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, Jesus' humanness, He didn't want to go to the cross. He didn't want to be killed. He didn't want to be hurt. But He trusted God that on the other side of this difficult choice was joy. That on the very side, it's difficult sometimes to trust God and to forgive someone in your life. It's difficult to trust God that He will provide when you've just lost your job. It's difficult to make those decisions. It's difficult to trust God when all the bad things are happening in the world. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's difficult to trust Him. But joy is found in trusting God instead of trusting me. Trust God, not you. Look what He taught. You know, I love to read what Jesus taught the night before He died, because in my opinion, that was when He was serious. He knew He was going to die the next day, so let's look at the one, John 15:11, last verse. It says, I have told you these things so that you can have the same joy that I have, and see that your joy will be the fullest possible joy. Fullest possible joy. Well, how do you do that? Some things that we've been talking about. Number one, you stop chasing after what God's already sent. Jesus is here. Joy is here. And He sent joy. You don't have to go chasing after Him. Take the first step of the journey. Realize that God is with you. Emmanuel. The third thing, which may be the most difficult part, is to let go of what you've been holding on to. Christmas is a good time to let go of that and to trust Him. Which leads to number four, make that difficult decision to trust God instead of yourself. So I want to tell you as we're closing today, you can choose to be bitter. You can choose to be discouraged. You can choose to be mad. But you can also choose joy. It may be a difficult decision for a lot of you. I know it's tough. Everything at Christmas is multiplied, and all the emotions are there. But you don't have to choose to be bitter. You can choose to be better. You don't have to choose to be discouraged. You can choose to be encouraged. And you can choose to be joyful. It's up to you. Would you pray with me? My Lord, before you came into my life, I looked for so many things to find joy. I never could. It was all temporary. Many stories like that around here. So Lord, I thank you for sending joy. Joy in a man named Jesus. That I can be joyful no matter what the circumstances. But I got to make some tough choices. So Lord, help me make those tough choices today and in the next few days. And maybe when alone. That seems to be when the bitterness comes up in me and the anger and the unforgiveness. Help me choose you. Help me choose joy. So that will be what I share with others. Help me to share joy this Christmas with others instead of sorrow. Lord, I love you. It's in your name I pray. I'm glad you're with us. Amen.